So I want to bring in Dr. Ed Cronolia. He is a sports doc, family physician, Metro Health, University of Michigan Health. And with the ever-changing, almost day-to-day fluid situation this pandemic has brought us going back to March, Dr. K is standing by. And Dr. K, from everything you know as a medical professional, with all the new testing that's out there and going to be available relatively soon, including that Abbott $5 15-minute test, are there enough procedures and safety protocols for a group as big as the Big Ten to return to play football and other fall sports safely?
In my opinion, yes, there are. From a purely medical standpoint, acknowledging that you're not going to eliminate 100% the risk involved with an endeavor like that, there are enough protocols and tests available to be able to do it. And again, it comes certainly down to more. There's the medical piece of it that has to be in place, but there's certainly other layers, as we're seeing, you know, that are non-medical that figure into it as well. But from a medical perspective, I feel fairly comfortable that something like that could be done.
They're talking about the procedures. So, again, from a medical professional viewpoint, would that a day in the life of a football team, it could be your golf team, soccer, whatever, would be the ideal situation, and correct me if I'm wrong, would be you wake up, you take this 15-minute Abbott Laboratories test or saliva direct, whatever test, and you get the results back, and then you're allowed to enter a practice, a game situation, the facility. Is that how that procedure would work?
Yeah, I think that that could be one way, and I think that would be even the most ambitious way to do it with a daily test. I think the NFL, I remember they were discussing, should be, a few times a week or daily, every other day. I think they may have ended up with a daily test. Like, I don't remember, don't recall. But I think you could even do it with less than daily tests. But, the more you test, the more you know. And obviously, testing, we have to remember, has to be able to be done not only by sports teams and sports leagues. You have to make sure that there's testing available for everybody who needs testing, even if you're not a part of a college or professional team. And I think that's what has given, and appropriately so, some organizations, they want to take a step back and don't want to look like they're hoarding resources in order to play a game, as important as these games are, and make it seem like they don't care about, certainly those who aren't playing sports and need to get tested. But, production is ramped up such that I believe that there are enough testing available, and you could have a daily test or every other day test. Certainly, bubble-like conditions would need to occur. You can't put them in a bubble like the NBA is in a bubble, but there can be policies and procedures in place to help ensure that there is a bubble-like atmosphere, and then testing can be done as when necessary. Maybe it's, three times a week, every other day, every third day, but something like that would need to be in place, in my opinion, for something like this to go forward.
If there is that $5 test and that Abbott Laboratories, from what I read, they're going to try and produce 50 million a month. I know the government has ordered 150 million. I wasn't privy to that conversation with President Trump and the Big Ten commissioner, but they did talk about, from what I read, the ability for testing. Is that, you start to think, if you can get a 5-minute test or a $5 test that takes 15 minutes, are you telling me that a university, it wouldn't be worth $100 a month to test your students before they step on your campus or they test themselves? You understand where I'm coming from?
Oh, no, absolutely. Like I said, it absolutely would be worth it. And certainly with the particularly for the large conferences, the amount of money that we're talking with advertising TV contracts and the like. But you still have to be able to do it. So you still have to be able to produce 50 million tests. You still have to be able to procure them.
Right.
So there's still a logistics piece that has to go into making sure that can happen. That's why I said, even if you start with every other day, every third day. But no, that'd be great. I'll be honest with you, it'd be great if we could do that, extend that to you know, healthcare professionals or those, you know, something like that can
schools.
Be tested more frequently who need to do that. So absolutely.
Right.
The more testing we can do, the better. We just have to be able to do it.
Yeah, and that's what Abbott said, that they're, you know, $50 million a month is a pretty big number, but that would take you 7 months to get enough tests for the entire country. And the government has ordered 150 million of those tests, which I assume will go to the most vulnerable and possibly even the kids in school. That first 150 million, most vulnerable first, and then maybe the school kids. Yeah, so but you may be 3, 4, 5 months, like we're saying, out from that, which would now push that into January. So if you're a chancellor, a school president in the Big Ten, and you get the testing, and put yourself in that position, Dr. K, you get all this testing info, you get the procedures that they could follow, that you look at how much things have improved or gone the other way from when you, as a group, voted 11-3 to not play fall sports in the Big Ten. What still would be the biggest medical concern that the Big Ten presidents would have in front of them that would still make them say, we're going to stick with our original decision?
You know, I think it's the lack of information around football. You know, we've talked about this before. We're getting some early preliminary data from high school football. Some states have been playing for a few weeks now. Obviously, there was the first college football game over the weekend. But there just isn't a lot of data or much data at all on football. And I think that those who are sort of entrusted in sorting through risk would some and everybody having a little different idea of what is worth the risk, what's an acceptable risk. I think that still is, it's a medical risk for sure, but it's more of a not wanting, even if the medical science supports being able to do these types of things safely, and there's a theoretical plan to do that, and you're starting to get some data, there's still that, boy, what if someone gets really sick and something tragic happens? And we haven't heard it even when the NBA bubble started and when the MLB, they started. It was like, what if something, you know, someone gets very sick, a high-profile player or anybody and has a significantly poor outcome? That's just going to be real devastating. And so I think it's that type of wondering, is that going to happen without having specific data on football that might give a president or a chancellor pause to say, I just don't have enough information to make me feel comfortable because we don't have specific football information that we can use. Although we're starting to get some more with high school, obviously, and we'll get some college information and pro information here soon.
Speaking of high school, football in Michigan, now the Michigan High School Athletic Association, and you're on their sports medicine advisory board or committee. They now have said if the governor would amend Executive Order 160 and give the go-ahead for football, that they now feel it's safe to play, that the Michigan High School Athletic Association would start the season as soon as possible. Now that's on the governor's desk or in her office to decide. If you had a call from Governor Whitmer about Dr. K, what do you think? Is it safe for high school football to be played this fall? How would you answer that compared to saying it safe for the Big Ten to play?
It gets a little trickier because the testing won't be available to the degree it will, you know, would be in the Big Ten. I think things that on the plus side for me is, again, we haven't seen yet, and again, we're just getting into maybe the third week of some states or maybe into the fourth week for a couple, you know, that data that suggests that, you know, football, people asked me over the weekend, we were chatting about it just informally and just with some friends, that, you know, the difference between like football and soccer, you have this moving ball where people come together, but the whole, unless you're playing like, you know, you watch your kids play soccer when they're really little, it's not this big mob of people just following the ball around the field. It's spread out and the chances of people coming together, the occurrences, I should say, are kind of, you know, come and go. Whereas football, it still is really, you know, tackle the ball. And so everybody comes together on every play. So that is a little bit different. Now, there's things that can be done with shields. There's things that can be done with masks. I mean, there's ways to lower that. So, which would be, again, up on the plus side for me. So if I was, you know, asked that question, I would say there's got to be some safety protocols in place And again, some understanding that we're not eliminating completely the risk, but we haven't done that in any other sports that are going on, even sport like cross country, which there's been meets around the state. You know, we haven't eliminated that completely, and football may theoretically have a little higher risk of transmission, but if you're doing the right things to try to lower the spread and monitoring things very closely, even in the absence of the amount of testing that you would need to do it or could do at a college and professional level, I still think this can be done safely. And I think a lot of states around us and around the country are saying the same thing, frankly.
Dr. Ed Cornelia, family physician, sports doc, Metro Health, University of Michigan Health. He's been our medical insider for over a decade and been with us every week since the pandemic began back in March. Dr. K, appreciate the update. Have a safe night.
Thank you. Everybody be safe out there.
All right. Dr. Ed Cornelia, known as Dr. K, joining us here on The Huge Show across Michigan.